Blog Talk Radio.
Family, Hotep family, this is Ruby. Welcome to the Ask Yaye Feeney show. We are in a new year, 2013. Definitely looking forward to this year. A lot of new and exciting things are happening with Yaye Feeney. I would like to say welcome, Yaye Feeney. Would you like to lead us in meditation?
Yes. Well, the meditation today, I would just like us to just sit still wherever we feel safe, quiet, and connect to your breath. And in connecting to your breath, I want you to take your right hand and put it right over your heart. And as you breathe in, I want you to breathe in the essence and the energy of healing, and when you breathe out that which you don't need. As you're breathing in, I want you to just visualize the color blue. And when you're breathing out, I want you to visualize the energy, the color white. And so I just want you to just feel comfortable. Three nice cleansing breaths, breathe in, breathe out, again, breathing in slowly, and breathing out, nice, getting all of this energy of running around, trying to make the day happen. One more time, breathing in a cleansing breath. And breathing out. And as you breathe, I want you to allow your breath to go into this deep, deep, deep part of your being to connect to all of your higher self. Aholona o yale 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 mao yale o mi ave aya gami o yale. Our homes, our hearts. And the affirmation I would like to share for the year is, my happiness is God's affair, therefore no one can interfere. My happiness is God's affair, therefore no one can interfere. Hashem, Hashem.
Wow. Oh, very cleansing. Okay.
Okay. I want to thank you, Reverend God, the Divine Mother, healing all that makes us cry, that makes us angry, that makes us feel depressed and sad. So, for the new year, we affirm that we are healed and that God is present in everything that we do. So, Asha, thank you.
Wow, that was great. That was perfect. Family. Yeyefeni, anything we talk about on the show, the Ask Yeyefeni show, you'll be able to go back. If we talk about any products or any classes or anything that she's doing, you'll be able to find out any information that you'll need on www.yeyefeni.com. That's www.yeyefeni.com. And family, for all the people in the chat room, I would like to say welcome and thank you for joining us. And the listeners, thank you very much. This is going to be a great show. And for anyone who's listening on their computers or in the chat room, if you have a comment or a question, the call-in number is 310-742-1887. That's 310-742-1887. And you'll have to press the number 1 in order for us to recognize your call and know that you want to, you have a question or you want to, or a comment or you want to speak with Yeyefeni. Please check out her shop. Check out her books. Her Meaningful Monday book is terrific. I love it. She has DVDs and baths and soaps and, you know, and something new that she has, making baths and spiritual washes with herbs. Definitely you should, if you want to know more about that, go to her website. And you can, it's a little description of what she's doing. It's just a simple description of what that is. And you can always get in touch with her if you want to know more information about it or anything like that. So I would urge you to look at that. And also, don't forget to sign up for her newsletter. The newsletter has a lot of information in it, and it actually, this issue talks about, you know, the readings, the new year. And for me, I'm excited about 2013. I have my list of things that I want, that I can accomplish. Then I have a list of things that I definitely need God to accomplish for me or guide me more so than the other things. So those are my lists. And I look at them and I read them. But I also follow, there's a reading that Yeyefeni does, and so many people have benefited from her readings. She has gotten hundreds of emails and compliments on how accurate she is. And, you know, you may be on here and think, I don't believe in that. I have to tell you, I was there too, where I thought, really, a reading? But she didn't know me. But she knew so much about me when she gave me my reading. She was so on point. So at this time, Yeyefeni, I'm going to let you talk about your readings and talk about 2013 and what you're doing.
Okay, great. This year, we have, like last year, we have information, and I call it a forecast. I like to call it forecast for the year, because this is a projection of the odu, or the things that are possible for us to be able to attain this year, and some of the things that we can be mindful of. I don't like to put negatives and say that this will happen, that will happen, but I just think in a way that we can embrace whatever faith or religious or beliefs or beliefs that you have in existence. And so I do a reading every year for the world, the U.S., and for the African American. And because I'm always asked to read the African American community as much as I am African. A lot of people who are my clients here, that happen to be, you know, I have a large number of African American students. I have people of all cultures and faith, religion, races, but I've always been asked to do that. And so the reading of the year, I mean the reading of the world, says that two big noses can't speak from the same fountain. So that means that if we are to get along with each other in the world, if we are to be world citizens, then we have to then understand and respect that not only the rights of others, but our own rights. And so that we have to get, this is a good time, a good year for us to be involved and knowing and take responsibility to learn exactly what's going on with us. Not just take the newspapers and listen to what it says, but go behind it, do your own research, listen to different news media. If you want to be clear on what's going on in the political system, if you are interested in your career, then this is a time where you can revisit getting some more classes or education or getting more information or preparing yourself, I should say, so that when you meet someone that is on your same level, you will know how to maneuver, how to move, how to not run into conflict with others, so that you are not insecure yet. If it has to do with friendship, is the same thing. Find out, find what is the thing that makes you amicable or makes you allows you to be more compassionate, agreeable. This is not the time to force you. It says be careful of fires in the home and explosive things. Be careful with electrical wires. Take precaution and prepare for storms. When traveling, be sure to secure your personal documents, because this is a time where with this odu, you could be in a foreign country and get caught in another place without your documents, and you could be stopped on the road. And so make sure that you have copies of it wherever you're going, wherever you are, whether it's nationally or internationally, always have your documents. And with this odu is talking about you can't run up against the law, so therefore you have to have your documents so that when that comes up, you don't have to try to drink from the same fountain. You don't have to try to push your way or be aggressive and say, well, I have it. You should know that I live here. No, you just be prepared. Pray for world leaders. The leaders of the world with this odu, Obata, says that, you know, world leaders are people, human beings, one, and then they are, of course, have an agenda based on their country's needs, wants, desires, ambitions, goals. And so we must pray for the leaders of the world to become sensitive or to intuit or to be more in tune with exactly how the world has changed and how the world is changing. And because I think that when we have conflict, it's because sometimes we are not moving in the direction of exactly what's real, and we think that it should be the old guard. And the way the world is going today, things are moving so quickly and so fast. This is a speed. As rapid things are happening, and if we are, as leaders, if we are still stuck with old rules and old laws, then it will cause the people to take to the streets. It will cause the people to have inner conflict in their country. And so we must pray for the leaders to have balanced faith but also to really be insightful as to the needs and the direction of the world. There may be some surprise events, be introspective and take responsibility. So if there anything that comes up all of a sudden that surprises us, frightens us, it says be introspective and ask yourself, now, how come this is happening? Say, for instance, when we have those shootings together, are you saying it was one crazy person or is it our society that has gotten to the point where, and then you can then take responsibility whether the vote may or may for gun laws and that. So you have to be active, not just say, oh my God, this is tough. But we have to be introspective and look back as to what could be the problem that we're having and what, how could I, one person, make a difference in taking responsibility. People with lung issues are advised to take health precautions. This old recall has said that they would be breathing, and I guess now what they do too with the outbreak of the flu, that this was really before the epidemic of the flu being hit up. So be very mindful if you're having health issues, really address them, take them seriously. There could be a new positive report about blood transfusions or issues with the blood. This is in research. Take care of the ancestors, everyone, whatever culture you're from, remember what from whence you came, the sacrifices that were made for you to be who you are, where you are. And take care of the ancestors and honor your culture and your ancestors' strength. Good time to pray as a collective. This is a good time for us. Remember when we had the hurricane and we all came together and were praying as a group so that the hurricanes would we would find solutions to it so that it would not hit as hard as it would in some countries. And when we have massive catastrophes, we get together for that. We can get together as a world to really come out and to pray collectively to make effective change in the world. Pay attention to your intuition. Again, listening to the spirit within. Pay attention to the little things. Nothing is insignificant. So little things such as where my shoes are at, that's small and you think it's insignificant, but it's not because you can do them, something happens. So this is the time for you to slow down and not move so quickly, but also on a very fast, hot flight, aspect. And also, and so it's telling you to slow down. Pay attention to the things, little things. They're not insignificant. Like you just read someone, come to find out their situation. Something similar, and then if you investigate further, you might be connected even further. And at the end of the day, you realize this person or this situation was bigger than you thought and is a bigger blessing. So don't take anything for granted and say, oh, that's just a little. Stay very clear of careful attention to small. Put a maroon colored flag in your home. Korea is the energy of storm and water protection. You are honoring her, that energy in the universe, so that when storms come, you're able to not be the victim of it, but that you will be one that's holding her flag and say, I acknowledge you and I am on board with you. Even in the Ifa religion, HVC, the shrine of Oya, this is a good year to do so. For those who are involved in this particular faith that I'm a priest in, and saying that in any of your readings, it says that you have to receive the shrine of Oya, which is the energy that deals with confrontations, wars, separations, losses, being involved with people who are homeless and that. It says that this is a good time to do that. I'm just going to read them all down and everything kind of go through them one by one. Maybe we can go one by one now. That would be easier because this is three different reasons. So at this point, I would like to, if there are any questions that anyone would like clarification on, then maybe you can ask and I can maybe get some insight.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And
while people are maybe perhaps typing or trying to think, let me say that the world, all of us function on a vibration. The number 2013, everything that we have, every calendar we have, every hope that we have our clock, our watches, everything is synchronized to that vibration. And so when that vibration is dominant, under that vibration, there are different realms that we live on personally, universally, culturally. All of us are in a vibration together on the planet. And in though we are separate, we all are the energy that is coming from 2013, which is a number 6 year, it's vibrating throughout the world. And so when you get a reading like this that's talking about the world, it's saying that all of us are part of the same hand. We may speak a different language, look differently, have different mannerisms and that, but we all have a universal soul. And the world is the place where we all drink from. We all belong to Mother Earth. And so this particular reading is really just connecting to us as world citizens and how is it that we can harmoniously live on this planet without destroying ourselves and the planet. Oshun speaks also in this aspect where if we are mindful and take care of, pay attention to the collective and that, the other side of this is that it will be a very successful in marriages, in relationships that are beautiful, that encourage sweetness, that encourage finance, that encourage the things that will make us want to use our creativity to get more and to get better at whatever it is that we do. Osabara is a very heavy odor. It speaks of the physical and the spiritual heads coming together. It's like thunder and lightning. Okay, and so it talks of setbacks in that. So I don't like to talk about the negative aspects and say be careful of this, that, the other. But if we're doing the positive and affirming, pay attention to little things, that we don't have to get involved in saying that you will find disruptions in your head and that kind of thing. I like to focus more on what is the outcome of our actions. So are there any questions that people are putting in the chat room or want to call in?
No, I don't see any questions yet. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I talked about my lists that I do. What do you think about making a list of what you want to accomplish for the year? Because for me, it gives me something to strive for. And as I accomplish each thing on my list, I can cross that off. And I can either add or take away. But it doesn't bother me if everything on my list is not accomplished for that year. I extend my plan and I move it over to the next year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about
that? That sounds great. I like that. In planning, and some people call it, New Year resolution?
Yeah, I don't like that word.
Yeah. That is just like resolve, you know? I don't know. When we are looking at the kinds of things that we want for the year or we write them down, that's the best way to make something happen. When you write something down, your own spirit acknowledges that it's important and keeps connecting and sending things to keep you to it. Writing them down is great. Also, as you say, giving yourself time and respect and permission that if you don't accomplish it, you don't have to beat up on yourself. You acknowledge that perhaps I didn't look at the big picture or perhaps it's just timing. I recommend that if you're planning a list for the year also, as you said, is to write it down, number one, but of course, make sure that you are looking at the possibilities, the support that you will have to make sure that that happens, and put those things in place so that you don't sabotage yourself. Let's say, for instance, you said, every day I'm going to work out. I'm going to walk 3 miles. And you don't put in place what happens on the days when it rains. So then you sabotage yourself because if you have a week of rain, then you may not even do your walking. And if you're planning to walk, then you will be saying, okay, Well, on the days I'm going to put in place, I will walk every day, and the days that it's raining outside or the weather's bad or it's cold, then I will walk at the mall, or I will walk on my treadmill. I will go indoors. I will work out in another way, so that when it rains, you don't feel like, oh God, it's 5 days and I have not been able to exercise. Versus, okay, on a rainy day, let me get in the car and I'm going to the gym. I mean, I'm going to the mall. And so that's the way that you won't sabotage yourself, because you have an ulterior plan to what it is that you have. But I think it's a great idea to write down things that you want to accomplish. And if it doesn't happen, then you can put them for the next year, but you don't beat up on yourself if it's not accomplished, because this is not a do or die. It is to assist you in becoming better at whatever it is that you do. So I love that concept of writing down what it is that you want. You have a plan. Because if you don't plan, life will plan for you. And sometimes the plan, when it comes from life, you may not be ready for it. You may not be equipped. And that's what people call luck. Luck is being prepared when opportunity happens. And if you don't, you're not prepared, then you wonder, why did I keep hitting a miss? Because you didn't write it down and you did not stay focused. And your intention was not to succeed. Because when your intention is to succeed, you want to have it always present in your spirit, in your mind, on your wall, in your car, wherever it is. So I'm okay. Yeah, but that's wonderful. I love that.
Okay. Why do you have the 3 readings for the world, for the U.S., for African Americans? What was behind that concept of doing it that way?
Because, as I said, as a world, we have different rules and criteria that we abide by in different cultures. But the reading of the year of the world allows us to know that, okay, we live in the world, but we also have a smaller community. We have a landmass that all of us live on, which is the United States. We run by different criteria. We have a different flag. Our national color is different. Our national budget is different. And so when you're doing that reading on the world, you're actually reading, how is my extended family doing? And then when you're reading the United States, how is my immediate family doing? What can I do for my immediate family? And then when I do the reading for the African-American, then you're saying, okay, specifically, I am of this subgroup. How is my group doing? Does that make sense? Are you there?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's a community. Because family, one person makes up a family, but one person becomes people become members of one family. That family becomes the village. The village then becomes, one family becomes the member of the compound of your family structure. And outside of that, then you become a part of the entire village. Then the village become a part of the whole entire world that you live in, or state, or that you live in. So there are different rules that apply to different situations. And so it's just like when you're getting a family, you're getting a reading, a personal reading for yourself. The purpose of doing that is you want to know, how is it that I, as an individual, will be able to move through the world, be connected to my family, as well as to my personal needs. And so you may get a reading, a family reading for the year. You can have a reading for your organization for the year to see what the energy of 2013, what are going to be the challenges and the strengths. And then you have a reading personally for you. How is it that the strengths and the weaknesses of this organization, how am I going to be able to be a minus or a plus? So it's like a puzzle, and everybody brings a piece to make this thing complete.
Okay.
So that's why that concept came years ago.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense. What gives you your energy? what do you channel? What do you, where does your mind go when you're, you know, when you get information from people and they want a reading? How, what do you do? Do you sit down and just let your mind go blank and think about that person and the information that they've sent you? How do you do that?
That's one way of doing it. Because if you're a channeler, that means that you just think of a person and their image will come up to you and you can say it. And in this particular instance, when I do the reading, a consultation on someone, if they're in front of me, they're part, when I do my prayers, I use the tool that I use, a cowrie shell. And I use these cowrie shells that have been energized through ceremony to be conduits or connecting rods for what the person is asking about and what the universe is ready and willing to share at that particular moment. And so when I do my prayers, I invoke all of the energies of the universe. I invoke the priests who have gone on, who were diviners, because now they've become energy in the universe for wisdom, and I call on them. I call in the energies of the spirits of the person that's sitting in front of me, and I call in my own spirit guides and ancestors and powers, Alicia. And then in that entire time that we're praying, we're asking for intuition. We're asking for connection to spirit, because we're venturing to the world of the unknown, not the unknown, but the unseen. And so when I do the prayer and the person is sitting in front of me, the first thing that I do is I touch their head, the front of their head, to say that may you be able to use the information here to move forward in your life. And then I touch the back of the neck and saying that the information that you are using to move forward, that you could use some of the experiences from your past to move you forward into whatever it is that is going to be said to you, circumstances that you came for the reading, and then the shoulders are touched to show that the things that you are responsible for and that will rest on your shoulders, that you will be able to take care of them. And then you touch the person's hand, and the things that they touch, they will be able to make a difference for themselves and for their life. And you touch their heart, that the intentions that they have for their heart will be aligned with what it is that they're doing, I mean, what it is that they're there for. And so it's like when you go to the doctor and they have the stethoscope is used primarily to hear the heartbeat, so that the doctor will know if you're having a skipping beat or if it's breathing correctly or if it's a murmur. And so that's what it's doing, is to let you know, let the doctor know exactly how well the person is. And how, and if they are not well, is it affecting their blood flow? And so that's what we're doing, is trying to figure out that when we pass the cowrie shell, is the person aligned with what it is, the questions that they're asking or the direction in which they want to go? Is their heart being strong enough to be able to accomplish it? Does that make sense in the way that I'm putting it?
Yes, okay. Definitely it does. What about when you do a reading over the phone?
Yes, and that's my next one that I'm going to say.
Okay.
When
okay.
I do a reading for someone on the phone, that's why I always ask them to send me their name, their address, their phone number, their date of birth. Because you can have 25 Mary Sue Jones, but the likelihood of having Mary Sue Jones of living in 2319 16th Avenue, apartment 409, there's only one. So we want the energy to go directly to that person when you speak their name and their address and their birth date. We're speaking to Mary Sue Jones, this specific one. And so I invoke, and when I'm sitting, seeing the person sitting in front of me, and I touch their forehead, I touch the back of them and their shoulders, and then I cast. So I imagine the person there. I bring their image to me, and that's how we do it. It's just as if you were there. Of course, it's more effective or more advantageous if you're there because you can ask questions one-on-one right there in the moment. Whereas when I do it on the phone, I would have already done the reading, and if you wanted something specific, I would have to go back into the reading. But this system is so sophisticated that when we have questions, or when we do reading, this is so fantastic a system that it covers up most of all of the person's questions before they even ask. Because Odu is a binary mathematical spiritual computation that holds us to a rule, to a set of rules and laws that govern that anyone that gets this particular Odu is usually talking about the same situation. So it's just like if you're eating an orange and you know that the orange is yellow outside. More than likely, it's going to taste like an orange. It may be dry. It may be it may not be as sweet as another one, but it is. The principle of it is basically the same. You're not going to bite an orange and it tastes like a watermelon. And so the principles that govern each person's reading then is based on their computation with the universe, their birth date, their birth name, their address, all of that. It's a zeroing, the possibility and probability of zeroing in on the person. It's just like if you have a John Fitzgerald, the first, the second, and the third, they have completely different energy. And if people put the first, second, and third, so that you know you're not talking about baby junior, we're talking about middle son, or we're talking about the great-grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sophisticated. This is an African system for thousands of years that has been using this method of computing energy, just as the weatherman. Where the weatherman is able to know that from the Gulf Stream, if you put the temperature in the water to be at a certain degree, more than likely you will have an effect that's going to perhaps run throughout one entire continent because they all feed off of the same energy, the same water, the same drift, and where the water may be warm, where it may trigger storms because it makes the energy of the location more actively in tune for hurricanes. And so that's the same thing that the weatherman does. That he computes the degrees, different degrees of possibility and probability. And this was done before computerized weather charting. This is thousands of years of African system of doing divination. So I hope that answers the question.
Yes, yes, it did. Okay, family, if you have a question, our listeners in the chat room, how are you this evening? I hope you're enjoying the show. And our call-in listeners, you can call in. Call-in number is 310-742-1887. Again, that's 310-742-1887. And press the number 1, and I will see your hand is raised, and I will definitely bring your call up. I know everybody's sitting back and enjoying this powerful woman, but I'm sure you have questions as well. So definitely, and let us answer those questions. I say us, right? Like I really know, but let Jay and Jeannie answer your questions for you. And even if it's not a question, even if it's just a comment. Okay, Yefini, you're going to be doing some things around town, and I'm not there, so I'm a little jealous of everyone who's going to get this benefit of what you're going to be doing. Can you tell the family a little bit about what you're going to be doing?
Okay, actually, for the month of January, I'm in the planning stage of everything that's happening for the year. Because I've just gotten my reading, because I get readings as well. I got my reading today, as a matter of fact. physician heal yourself, but you have to have another physician's insight, and that is not biased. And so I go for my readings as well. I have someone that counsels me and gives me insight as to how to, you know, what are the things that are challenging me, because, of course, you want to believe when you're doing a reading on yourself, it's like a doctor, oh, yeah, that heartbeat that I hear, that murmur, oh, that's not that bad. Versus someone else saying, look, it's pretty rough, so you need to take care of it. And so that's what I was waiting for, and doing other readings for people that are asking me to do certain events and things like that. So the month of January, I usually take it just for planning, and then coming up in February, we'll have a list of everything, the dates and where they are. So the first thing that we're having, of course, is we're going back to having our mediumship classes. And we're going to have our monthly meditation sessions. And the meditation sessions and the mediumship classes are here in Florida. But the mediumship classes, I've been asked to do them on the Skype or on the Google Plus. So I'm going to try to work that out, because the last time we had some challenges, because we had so many people that it kept cutting off. So I don't know if it was spirit or if it was just not practical. And so we're going to have the, our monthly meditation to Oshun on the second Friday of each month. And then we have our mediumship classes. Then we're going to have a priesthood classes, people who are practitioners of this faith and that are priests and want to further their education. We're going to be having some classes on that, as well as we're going to have classes for people who are worshipers, who are not ordained priests, but who have embraced this faith. Ifa, Yoruba, Lukumi, and so we will be having the Aborisha classes, and also we're going to have a SEW support group classes, and SEW is one of the self-empowerment workshop initiations that we do, which is a fabulous, wonderful workshop that we have twice a year, and the SEW is a journey that allows us to really connect to our ancestral guides, angels, family totems, and clear up some of the issues, many of the issues that we experience or have been victims or traumatized because of our familiar or family pathology, that we find ourselves really disempowered. And so this particular thing, we have it twice a year. And so over the years, we've had now over about 120 people who have gone through this rite of passage of this SEW program, and we're going to have a support group. So anyone that's listening that has been through SEW with me, self-empowerment workshop initiation, we will be sending out information for that, as we're going to have a support group where people can speak in terms of how far they've come and how it has helped and how we can improve it and that type of thing. Of course, we have the ongoing classes of the IIASK, which are seven introductory classes that are required for the self-empowerment workshop initiation of the seven-day program. And so we're going to have those going on as well throughout the United States. We have four different cities that the classes are offered, and these classes are offered on Skype and on Google Plus, as well as personally. And the numbers will be up there, and I think they're up there already, that you're able to call in your city, and if you're interested in taking out any of the introductory classes. We have also an advanced class for some of the classes that are being offered. We're going to have advanced classes for those as well. So there's a number of things that's going on, and of course, we have my Ask Yayafini show the first Sunday of every month. We had to change it this month until the second Sunday, but it's always on the first Sunday from 5 to 7. And then I have, of course, where we see the ancestors of the 1928 hurricane on the second Sunday of every month here in West Palm Beach. So it's a lot going on, but I will have it on my website, and you can look upcoming events or where is YAYAFE. And then, of course, I have lectures, and I'm going on tour and things like that. I will let you know where I am, so in case anyone wants to come and take part in it, in some of the lectures or workshops or book signing that's going to be happening this year. So I think that was 10 minutes of a lot, but it will all be on my website. So that's what's happening with AAC. I'm also looking for personal assistant and a product manager, two positions that I was looking for interns in, but it looks like I'm going to have to, it's going to be a paying position. So if anyone is interested, please contact me at gayafini@valesouth.net and let me know, and then we can talk, because I need someone to manage and to help me promote and to distribute the volume of orders that I have for my product. And the personal assistant I need to help me here in West Palm Beach. I have someone that is fantastic, but she's not here, and she's doing a great job, but I need a personal one. So those are the things that I have made for me. Whew, I'm tired.
You are doing so much. This is great. I am just totally loving it. And family. Okay. Yaya Feeney has lotions, Ashun lotion. And I'm just going to read a description of it. It says, this is luscious, rich lotion made from shea butter, grape seed oil, sunflower, and other essential oils. Users say it makes you feel loving and loved. Wow. I mean, the description alone makes you want the lotion.
Yeah, I have some specials coming up for Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Wonderful specials. Yes, yes.
When are you going to put those out?
I need a product manager. That's why I didn't promote anything for Christmas, because, you know, it's just the orders that I can barely fill now. And so that's why I need a product manager yesterday.
Okay. Do you have any idea how you're going to have these, what you're going to have in the baskets, what would make
For Valentine's Day? Oh, we're going to have the Ashun scrub, which is, you know, the mango ginger sensual Ashun scrub. We're going to have the lotion, and I now have a spray, a mist for your body, as well as we have the, we're going to have the Ashun soap that comes with it, as well as some other little tricks and goodies in you for sharing your love. It's going to be amazing. It's really, really wonderful.
Oh, okay. So sharing your love, family. Wow. That's a whole nother show.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother show, and we're not going to talk on that subject just yet, because it's a new year, definitely.
Yes, and sharing your love doesn't mean that you have to have someone to share your love. It's to attract that love as well.
Yes.
So if you're in the planning stage of your love, and you are ready, and you're readying yourself for it, then this is the thing. This is going to be the little package you might want to invest in. And it's going to be very affordable, because, you know, my things are very, very affordable.
Okay. One of the things that I see in the reading for the African Americans, the bell rings loudest in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that, if you can.
Okay, for the reading of the African-American in the diaspora?
Yeah.
Yeah, that means that if you take care of your own place or your home, then the world will take care of you. But you have to take care of things in your own yard before you try to tell someone else how to take care of their yard. There you go. And so the bell ring loudest in your own home means you have to pay attention to the things that have to do with you, your home, your property, your affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ring your bell in someone else's house before you'll know how to ring it in your own. And so in this particular Obi, in the African-American community, it's focused on love of self and self-reflection. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can connect with and love others. And so if you are focusing on your own love, the love that you have for yourself, then you are going to be a magnet for love, and you will be a giver of love, and you will not run out of it. Because love is so abundant, it's always present. But if you have self-reflection, look at yourself and not and unconditionally and not judging yourself, then you will be able to connect the, you know, when you see love from others coming, as well as you being able to give it before it even asks.
Mm-hmm.
And it says we need major self-empowerment for adults, for our healing, in order for our families to heal. So it's saying here that the African-American community needs a lot of self-empowerment. Do any kind of activity that is to encourage you. Because when you look at what the media is saying and what some of these live shows, what do you call these?
Reality shows?
Reality shows. You know, when you look at it and you're an African-American, you're looking at it with your head hung down more than not than saying, yes, that's our culture, we love it. More than likely, you're looking at it and saying, whoa, this is what the world sees that we are. This is the impression that we're getting. And so we need to have major self-empowerment for the adults so that we can be healed and so that we can heal our families. Why a woman will feel that her value and her worth is tied up into how bad she can cuss in public and how she can beat up on other women, and how many times she can call her sister a beast. And this is reaching all over the world. So there are people who are not watching this with any kind of intelligent deduction. They just say, yeah, well, I told you about this. African Americans are so wild and, you know, and so we have to really have some major self-empowerment for us adults so that we can heal as a community. And so that our families will be able to see it and have to be very, very self-reflective as to what's the image that we're showing our children, what's the image we're showing ourselves. It says that we have to make excuses. Stop making excuses. It's affecting our children. Our children are playing out what we need to do, what we need to do for them. And so when the children are acting wild and we're feeling, I don't know what to do with them, and we give them more games and more computers so that they can get out of our way because they're asking too many questions or they're acting out, and we buy them more things to keep them quiet, we have to stop making excuses about the children not acting accordingly. They're just letting us know that there's something that we don't understand as children, and we need y'all to address it. That's what children acting out is. And it's just let the young people know that they matter. Sometimes we're staying in such a bubble in our community and we don't want to say anything to anyone because we feel they're going to pull a gun on us and that. And so we have to let young people know that they matter and that we want to hear them. We have to be better listeners than we are talkers. And so there may be more reported major health issues in the African-American community like diabetes. We have to make a complete shift as to what is our value system, the things that we're eating, and we cannot eat the way that we used to because we're not living on a farm where we're working sun up to sundown in a field using a lot of exercise. So the carbs were like a fuel for us. Now most of us are just sitting in an office and we're eating as if we're working out in the hot weather are doing work as pioneers where you had to go chop your wood to heat your house to get up. That burned up a lot of calories. But now you just touch a button and your house is heated. And so sometimes we're running the risk of really, really putting too much in our body and not burning it up enough. And so it's affecting us with obesity is affecting us, with diabetes is affecting us, with all types of diseases, that the numbers in the African-American community is being raised higher and higher. So this is the first generation whose children will not outlive the parents. We must hold ourselves accountable. We have some systems that work. Whatever system works, we need to hold ourselves accountable to do it, to see the benefits of it. Whatever the system is, meaning working together, working as a community together, when there's poverty in our neighborhoods and our community, come together to come up with solutions, not try to do it by yourself. You cannot doctor yourself. Seek help from a therapist, someone that isn't involved with you personally. Work on self-love. And so in the African-American community, you know that African-American people really have a challenge when it comes to asking for help. Spiritual help, emotional wellness, mental health. In our community, it's still thought about the way it was back in the 30s, where it's an embarrassment to say that you need a psychiatrist, that you need a therapist. These people have the ability, they have the know-how to be objective and look at you without being personal and be able to give us guidance. So the African-American community says that we do need that therapist, someone who is not involved with you personally, to help you to work on your self-love. Because we can go ahead blaming each other and we wake up 3-4 more generations of not really understanding why is it as a people we're still allowing our children to fall through the cracks. And lastly, it says, pour our libation to the ancestors. For those who believe in the spirit and the energy of words and water and prayer, it means pray to your ancestors. Call on them. Call on the strength of your ancestors that because of them we are where we are. When you feel like it's the end of the world, think of one of your ancestors who overcame challenges and was able to conquer the challenges that was there and able to leave you a legacy. So that's the thing that would be very important here. So the bell ring loudest in your own home means take care of your own home, your own family, your own race, your own people. By being responsible for yourself and putting that action into the group, into the world that we earlier talked about, the leading of the world. So I hope that gives some kind of clarity as to the railway route.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, family, this is very exciting and powerful. Feel free to ask any questions that you like.
Yeah, Yefini, did you want to expand a little bit on your other readings?
Which one you mean?
You know, of course, I asked you a question about the African American because as I was reading through it last week. That was one of my questions that I had, and I had totally forgotten when you came on, and as I was looking through it again, I saw it. But
I
know you did for the United States, or
no,
for the
I
world.
No, I didn't do for the United
actually.
States. I did for the world.
You
now
did
I'm
for
going to
the
do
world.
For the United States, right? So you want me to do the one for the United States?
Yes.
Okay,
that would be perfect.
Great. Okay, so the reading for the United States says that the needle carries the thread, great influence on people. It means that it's kind of self-explanatory. The needle carries the thread. When you're sewing a quilt, the important, both of them are important because you can have a needle without thread and it's not going to do anything, but you can have thread without needle and it's not going to do anything. So when you have the needle, the United States has to recognize that it is a world leader. And the things that you want to do in the world, you have to understand that you have a great influence on the world. When you live in the United States, this is a great country. It has its negative and its pluses, just like everything. Just like in our families, we have negatives and we have plus. In our own behavior, we have negative and we have plus. No system is perfect. But the United States, to be living in the United States, and I've said this before in on other broadcasts that I've had, that you really don't appreciate the value of living in the United States unless you're caught outside and unable to come back. And that has happened to me. It's very, very frightening. And when you see that American flag at that embassy, it's a wonderful feeling. It is a wonderful feeling because somehow you know, okay, this is a world power, and there are ancestors who fought to make sure that when you are traveling abroad and something happens, those very people and ancestors who are no longer here, who fought for liberty, who fought for us to have the right to travel, the right to vote, the right to do things that in some countries are, they have the right to have education as women and men equally. When you travel in other countries and you see that that's not the way it is in the United States, you have a tendency to really be grateful that you live here. Now, if America is the needle that carries the thread, it's saying that if we are in a position of leadership and have the respect of the world, and sometimes don't have any respect for it, whichever the case is, we have to know that we play a key role in what it is happening in the world. So when we are polluting the water, polluting the air, doing things that are, you know, having, it's the only country that allows you to have the right to bear arms, and anyone can get a hold of an MK, whatever it is that you call that can shoot like 25 bullets into one person. We're the only country that has that, and so we have the highest rate of murders. So if we are the needle carries the thread, we may have to look and see what kind of needle and what it is that we're sewing. And so it says the U.S. is in a key position to bring peace and harmony. Pray for our leaders. Pray that Congress and the Senate and the President and the Cabinet will all acknowledge that they are the needle that's carrying and sewing the quilt of the world. This is a good year to wear white. White is the color that you want to wear when there's a lot of chaos, disharmony, imbalance, and negativity, because white is a color that gives you calm, serenity, and it gives you a sense, an energy of peace. And so wearing it with the reading on the world saying, all stars, two big noses, stand drink from the same fountain, then you want to have some aspect of you that is calm, your head, your being. As an American, you would want to be calm and collected because the world is always knocking at our door to come in. There could be a breakthrough with illnesses that affect the mind. So there may be some kind of breakthrough with maybe Alzheimer's or something like that, that through science is going to be able to bring help and assistance to those who are suffering from mental illness or mental imbalance. Appreciate what we have living in the United States. I already stated that. Be accountable politically. Get involved in your community. We stated that before. That you get involved with your family gets involved with the community gets involved with the country gets involved with the world. And so everyone has to do their responsibility. There are grants and monies and all types of things that are available to us. And people from other countries are coming in and taking advantage of it because the people who are living in the United States sometimes take it for granted and don't go after some of those rights that our ancestors fought for and that we have available to us. This is a good year to restore lost family values taught by our ancestors. Do things together, cultural things, restore order to our children, and that's stated it before. And so we have the opportunity to really restore some of the cultural values that make you feel. one of the things that I think that we're losing now that our children are now playing with so many gadgets and games and things is we have forgotten the aspect of us of sharing and of giving and doing volunteering. You know, we used to do things together like raising families. The lady next door could look at our children. If we're not there, cultural things we would do where we had block parties. We had things that tied us together. We restore the order for our children. Some of us are in a situation in some homes you have it where people are speaking to each other through text and they're living in the same home rather than being in the same space. Restore order for our children. Order meaning children want to feel safe. And if we are not putting and being focused at the importance of being parents or caregivers, then our children run the muck and feel that when we see models and movie stars and film actors dressing inappropriately, we feel that because they make money, that is the order of the day. We have to restore order to our children to let them know that taking off your clothes does not make you powerful. And so we have to speak your year's affirmations out loud in your home. So they're saying that we need to put affirmations on the wall. I am great. My children are a blessing to me. All of those things, and state them out loud so that it will reverberate in the universe as well as it will remind us. Remind you, writing things down and stating them out loud. There may be more scandals revealed this year. Well, we had a number of scandals last year, and it's saying it ain't over. There'll be more scandals in the United States. Because last year, whew, it was laden with scandals from pedophilia to drug use by athletes and all types of things. Adopt a family or a school. Be part of the solution in the community. Each of us could be and should be accountable to our neighborhood, because even if you're in a place where you don't have any children, those children one day are going to be the adults that will take care of you when you get old. And so you want to be involved with and giving back. That's karma. Whatever you put in into your community, you will get out of it. If you adopt a school and go and do volunteer work once a month, that's 12 sessions that you will have. Those children will see you in the grocery store and say, hello, that's the lady that came to my school. And you have a connection to them. And they feel that they matter. Perform random acts of kindness twice a week. Hold yourself accountable. That's a ceremony that is said that we have to perform random acts of kindness. People sometimes, by and large, are very, very kind. But you have those moments that we forget that people still need you to go out of your way, even when you're feeling, especially when you're not feeling good, to do something for someone just from the heart because you think that they need it. Hold us accountable to doing those random acts of kindness. It will infect the world. It will make us really connect to the small percentage that forget and are not kind. But most people are kind. Most people are kind. And if we continue to infect it, it will spread and it will become much more visible. Settle any arguments under a tree for inspiration. Let spirit guide you. It says that when you get yourself in a conflict with someone else, don't try to argue and shoot each other over a TV remote or to fight over who is going to sit in the front or the back of the car and that kind of thing. Go outdoors, sit down under a tree, do a diaphragmatic breathing and say, you know what, we need to talk. Away from any other kind of distraction or any kind of energy that could increase the anger and the rage and the disconnect. So those are some of the things that this oldie came in spirit need to remind me that we can do to really have a positive effect on the world. Like I said, my readings don't delve and deal with the negative aspect because the negative aspect is always there, but I always believe that positivity shines brighter than negativity. And so if we focus on what we can do, then the rest will have to dissipate. So those are the three consultations that I had for the reading of the medium.
Oh, yeah. Okay, family.
I don't see any questions in the chat room or from the callers on the line. The call-in number is 310-742-1887, and you have to press the number 1 to be on air. Okay. Yefini, did you tell us about the, I know you talked about the question I asked you, the bell rings loudest in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
But would you like to go through that? Well, you know, one of the things, I know you say you did the reading, let's talk about the, for the U.S. and for, let's talk about the reading in U.S. So, when you thought about this and when you sat down to do the reading, did you go towards the violence? Where did your mind go first? Towards the president and the safety of the family? Or because we've had a lot of violence last
mm-hmm.
year and shootings and copycats and so many things. Where did your mind go when you were doing the reading for the U.S.?
Well, it's not my mind, because very little of my mind is in it. I'm actually invoking spirit. So the spirit tells me what is going to be the thing that's going to affect us this year. I'm blank. When I do the reading, I say spiritual consultation, what energy is governing the United States of America for the year 2013? And then I get an Odin, those numbers that I have up there. And then the proverb goes with that. So I'm not thinking on anything. If anything, I'm thinking I wish that, you know, everything is going to be fine with everyone, but I have to trust spirit. It's like you're going on a trip
mm-hmm.
and you want to know, you take your car to the diagnostic guy to hook it up to see if in fact you'll be able to take your car or should you rent one.
Mm-hmm.
When you go in there, the car may be fine. You don't have a clue. You don't have an idea. And you get in there and the guy says, oh, I'm so glad you came because your driving shaft or something like that was just about to fall out. So I'm glad
uh-huh.
you came. The intelligent part of you said, I'm not getting on the road without checking this because I know it's going to be wear and tear on the car. So your
yeah.
hope is, I hope everything is fine so I don't have to spend any money because I'm getting ready to go on the road.
Yes.
But the
yeah,
good thing
exactly.
about it is that not
at
only
least, you
did
know.
You put your money into something that's worth investing, but you may have saved your life and the life of everyone else that was going to be in that car.
Yes.
So that's what it is. When I do the consultation, I'm blank. I'm just driving up and says, can you please hook up the United States to this machine and tell me what is going to be the diagnosis?
Wow, that's your gift. Yes.
And that comes with years of training as a priest
mm-hmm.
because this system was introduced by my teacher. And he used to do this, you know, and he's now resting glory by Janot. But this has been a system that we've been doing for many, many, many years, and I have done it as well into continuing the practice. So this is years of training as a priest as to how to interpret the particular numbers and the Odu, but also my intuition as a seer, as a medium, as a vehicle
mm-hmm.
for a light, as a light worker and a shaman, I'm able then to not only just use the facts that are given to you when you study the material that is given, but you're able then to turn it into illumination and insight and bring forth
mm-hmm.
a picture that people follow.
Hmm, okay. Wow. You are so amazing. I am fascinated
by that.
Our system
is amazing. I'm just a tool. I'm just
you're the means. You're the tunnel in which it travels through, right?
Mm-hmm.
The vessel.
Yes, my. Let me say also while we have a moment here is on my website. Every Monday I have a Meaningful Monday. I used to do it on the regular Facebook, and now I put it up every Monday on my website. And if you're interested, you can just go on my website and look up for that Meaningful Monday. The one tomorrow is very, very, very insightful, very, very, very powerful. And what I do is that I use my book, Meaningful Monday, as a way I share some of the stories and the things that have happened with me over the course of my life, and primarily focusing on my 41 years, going on 42 years as a priestess. And so the one tomorrow is all new, and this year I'm going to be writing a whole new set of Meaningful Monday, unlike what's in my book. The one tomorrow I dedicate to women who, men and women, who have been abused.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Who have been abused in their marriage, in their relationship,
mm-hmm.
spousal abuse. And so if you, you know, for those who are listening, go into to my Meaningful Monday tomorrow. It's going to be very, very powerful, and I'm dedicated to women and men who have survived and who in this moment, I pray for, will find the strength to walk away, because it is dealing with one of my clients,
mm-hmm.
and a friend that I lost through domestic violence. And so the story of it is very, very, very touching in that the way that spirit made me mindful and remind me to use spiritual connection as well as prayer to safeguard my loved one. So it's very, very, yeah, it's very, so it comes up 12 o'clock tonight, and it's there, Meaningful Monday, and you can leave a comment if you want to, and then I have my Teaching Tuesday, which was a video that I started out, and this year again, I'm starting out a new set of videos every Tuesday that primarily are about education from this tradition. So I will give examples of perhaps the story of why the proverb that says the needle carries the thread, great influence on people, the story behind that. And I will give what we call an apateki, or a story, so that people will be able to see. So every Tuesday, you can look it up, look at my website, and you will see a new Teaching Tuesday. And, of course, on Mondays, you will have actually writing some very powerful things that I'm going through and that I have gone through in connecting to spirit and making sure that I acknowledge that everything in life is a blessing or a lesson, no matter how painful or how hard it is, what brings you to that point. And the one tomorrow, the name of it is What's in a Song? What is in a song? Very interested. And then next week, I'm doing one that I'm writing that nothing is by coincidence, because I met someone in my life that has made such an impact in my life that it's just mind-blowing. And this child is 18 months old that I never knew until I moved here to West Palm Beach. And so I'm going to be talking about that, how looking at the little things and how God always has something good for us no matter where we go, how we go. You know, I moved to West Palm because I felt it was time for me to really start back to doing my regular classes and to have my office right here and not having to go to the office separate from where I was living. And some days it was very hard and that. So I am able to now do my counseling and my teaching and that right here because My house is very large, and I have my office and my living quarters here. It was time for that, so it was a good thing. But in coming here, I don't know many people and that, but the way Spirit has worked is just amazing. And that's what I talk about next Monday, and how an 18-year-old little baby that I just met on the street changed my whole, just made me appreciate why I listen to Spirit and why I move when I hear Spirit talking. Just powerful, really powerful. So every Monday night's a new set of meaningful Mondays. I'm not using the book. I'm writing a new set.
Okay. Yafini, we have a caller on the line who has a question. One moment. Caller 214, I'm bringing you up on the air. You're on the air with Ask Yafini on the Ask Yafini show. You have a comment or a question?
Yes, I have a comment about the readings that have been discussed. First of all, I want to give thanks for those spirit of light that walk with you, Yafini, and that give you the guidance and that you allow yourself to be a vessel.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The second thing I wanted to comment on is that right after the election of Barack Obama, I had this feeling of we must continue to go from the euphoria to work. And then the reading came out giving directions. And I see in this reading where we can pick out our responsibility. We can stop being victims or seeing ourselves as victims. And begin to, what I used to say, circle the wagon and begin to, in little ways, you know, we don't need to wait for a lot of people. It's like you're suggesting in the reading. There are several items in the reading that if we pick out something just to begin, you know, that we can make a difference. One person, two people can begin to make a difference. And I think this what I've observed in all three of the readings, which are connected, as you mentioned, that we can, the host mentioned something about the violence and all of the negativity that we are witnessing. But if we begin to do these things that are, you know, and pick out these things, like restoring, begin to take more time with the children, begin to in our own sphere of influence, where we are, and then where our acquaintances are, decide that we're not going to be victims anymore, that we're going to begin little by little and then add on to it, and then realize that we do need empowerment, but that the first thing we need to do is to stop thinking ourselves as victim and stop blaming other people, to see our own what we can do in our own selves, own responsibility to correct it. And in the reading, it gives us plenty of different levels of direction to begin. So I see a lot of hope in these readings if we would just take them seriously and begin to do something from them and to see the world, start seeing all the negativity through these readings.
Oh, sure. Thank you very, very, very much. That was a wonderful summation. I needed you. I will need you to summarize it at the end of the show. Thank you very much, because it's very insightful that you're saying that we do the small things. Each one of us can do something. Sometimes we think that we need money, we need a whole troop of people, we need a logo, we need brochures. No, it just takes doing one random act of kindness, or, as you say, hold yourself responsible to doing something. If you see there's violence in your home, ask what is the reason. Not those people over there. If they are a reflection of you, and find something that you can do. If you are practice martial arts, go and teach them one day. If you know how to cook, have a cooking class. If you have skills as a teacher, if you have skills as a teacher, have some type of affair that you can have songs for children and songs for adults. If you're a storyteller, go to the sick and the shut-in and read them a story. It can make a difference. You can make a difference. And as you say, we hope that everyone listens to the reading. There's so many readings of the year floating around now. It's about five. You have the ones coming from Spain. You have the ones coming from Cuba. You have the, you know, and that's all good. And, you know, but do something about it rather than just get overwhelmed. Do something with it that your spirit resonates to. It's like when you go to a small ship, a smorgasbord, and you see all the types of food. And the fried chicken or fried tofu or whatever looks very good, but you know you have a stomach that can't take fried food, so don't even look over there. Go into the soft boiled foods, but you've got to eat. And so, you know, thank you so much, the caller, for really sharing that insight. It's that we can start by doing the small thing and stop thinking of ourselves in the African American community as well as Americans, as well as citizens of the world, as victims. We live in a great, great time. We live in a time where anything that we want. I was watching television the other night. I don't watch that much television, but I was flicking through the channel. And every other station had some type of reality show with people just making complete nuisance and nonsense of themselves. And I say, if this is what if this is an art form, because art is supposed to reflect the values of a society or the appreciations of a society, if all we have gone down to be is to be people who are fighting and bickering because they don't know how to follow the rules, that's all it is. In kindergarten, you're told, hold your hand, stay in line and wait for your turn. That's what we're taught in kindergarten. The people that I saw on these things, they do not wait for their turn. They do not hold the other person's hand, and they don't want to be next. Everybody wants to be first. So, you know, what I saw was very disheartening, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is what we are seeing. And sometimes, as the caller said, we're focusing on doing things with children. We need to focus with ourselves as well. Because as adults, some of us are still children. We're still carrying some of the veil of the pain of being children, of having an unanswered question in our mind. And as adults, we function from that paradigm. Sometimes we're still the little child that's hurting. At 52 years old, you can still be a child feeling that the way to deal with conflict is by using the fist, because that's what you know. That's what you saw in your home. We have to take responsibility to recognize that that does not work. Either you're going to go to jail, or you're going to be killed, or you're going to find yourself in a place where at 54, 52, or whatever it is, that you are digging yourself into a lonely place when you get to be, if you get to be 70. So we have to be a little more active, involved in what it is that we do. And it doesn't take a whole lot of hoopla. Just do the small things, but do it consistently. Do it where the people feel and that they have value and that they matter. That's all anybody wants. Is to feel loved, valued, and they matter. And anything that you can do to make someone feel good about themselves, that, I believe, is doing God's work. That's a ministry. You don't have to have a logo. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have pews. You don't have to have hymn books. All you need to have is love in your heart and an extended hand giving. And doing the small thing, calling our values back into our homes as parents. It's okay to say we don't watch television during the week. Use the first family as an example. Because that's what the reader will say. We have systems that work. Copy it. Multiply it. But you have to be holding yourself responsible. You know, everybody wants the latest gadget. I was on the train, and there were maybe about, I think, 23 people in there. No one was speaking to each other. Everybody had their hands on their phone, either texting, playing a game, checking their emails. If a naked person walked through the train, nobody would have noticed it. No one. If someone was sitting down crying, the majority of people would not have noticed it. And I know that if those 22 people did not have their hands on a phone or texting or talking on their cell phone, and someone was sitting in a corner on that train crying, someone would go over and say, "Are you okay?" That's the values that we have to go back to. Of compassion, of service, of giving. And when you give, you feel so good. And that's the thing that we're craving, is love, self-love. When you are in a position to help someone else and you see their face, you feel so fulfilled. You feel so much self-love, so much pride and dignity in yourself for being able to make a difference. We are good people by nature. I don't think God planned out for every baby that is born, 99% was going to be bad. I really don't think God would spend that kind of energy making negative things. We get to the point where we forget that whose we are and who we are, and so we then start dealing with each other from a place of fear. And fear is the lack of self-love. When you don't feel love, then you'll get afraid and you're frightened and you don't trust and you isolate yourself by creating a world where there's those, them over there, and then there's us. And it puts you in a framework that you have to protect yourself. And you become your own jailer and warden and prisoner in your own mind. And you lack. And you lock yourself down to the opportunity of someone touching you with love. I really, really, really believe that. Most people are instinctively good. Maybe I am naive or whatever, but I like myself like that. But people have been kinder to me in my life. They're not. Now, mind you, I have been through a battleship of things, but I have a cruise ship of love in my life. And most people have, but we dwell so much because when you don't have self-love, you dwell in a place of fear. And so when something negative happens, we magnetize it rather than embrace it and say, okay, so what's the lesson on this little baby here? We start saying, see, I knew it. I knew I couldn't trust that. And then you start, if your mind goes into this place of desolation and just dark and start pulling all of the possibilities of failure. Well, you have to fail then because that's the only reality that you're creating. So I really believe that, you know, there are, people are instinctively good. So I hope that shared a little.
Wow. You know, you are absolutely right. People do. They are on cell phones and everything. And I it was just on Wednesday, First Lady, we had Bible study, and, you know, a lady who was a member of our church, her sons were at Wegmans, and they were with their mom. She went one way and told them to go and get something. And these are, one is 21 and the other one is 17. As they were walking, this guy, older man, you know, they say about 60 or 70, walked up to them and said, "Why are you in my store?" And as they looked at each other, he cut one of their throats, the 17-year-old, and he stabbed the other one in the leg when he was trying to help his brother. And he had to get 200 stitches. He's on crutches. And it's like people stood around. People weren't even paying attention. They were talking on their cell phones. They were texting. And they said that some people just sort of stood there frozen as this man was just stabbing him in his leg. And they're both fine. But, you know, these are scars. People don't look at their surroundings. You know, it used to be a time when you walk and you speak and you say hi to people, but now everybody's so engaged with different things, they don't notice what's going on in their community. They just don't notice their surroundings anymore. And that was something that, you know, years ago, before all this technology came about, that is exactly what people did. They noticed their surroundings, and they noticed their neighbors. And, you know, even in the schools, you know, you see the aides, the counselors, the people who work in the schools, they're texting. They're on their phones. They're on their iPads. They're working on some piece of technology instead of watching their surroundings and paying attention.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing of it is, too, is that, just as you said, people are frozen because we watch so much television as a culture that it looks like a movie. Because on a movie, you know, it's acceptable to find out that, you know, in this episode, somebody got stabbed up and it's okay, and they died, and then they just bring someone else and they change the story. And so we have become numb to the fact that television is not real. And so we have already been programmed. We have bombarded ourselves with so many hours of television that we are saturated in believing we're shifting our reality. And so when those young people walked in there, that man was afraid for whatever reason. And he reacted to it. I remember at the time when people would have gotten there, drunk that man out, and just beat him to death as a reaction to, this is horrible. Oh, my God, we have to stop him. Versus, I don't know, because I might go over there and get stabbed too, or what do I do? Who do I call? I can't get involved. And so the child could have just bled out. And so that's what's happening. So we become frozen and inactive. And just as the caller said, is that we have to take responsibility and stop being a victim. Because I think that the only reason that we watch those reality shows is because the numbers, when they go to check it to see how many people are watching, everybody's watching. But if we can tell Hollywood or the media what we're not going to watch by just not watching it. But we have to take responsibility. And you have to say, well, I'm willing to give up the fact that my children will then be in my face and asking me questions and I'm going to have to answer them even though I'm tired. That's what you are supposed to do if you're a parent. Don't let a violent box raise your children. Raise you to tell you what is appropriate action when you see a crime happening and be so afraid that you don't get involved. But that's what it is. The fear of the people we've just become numb and insensitive. So we have to change it. That's why the reading is a negative. It's saying that we've become so complacent and just, you know, like, oh, well, we can call somebody and, you know, we can change the channel. When it gets ugly, we can change the channel. We can move out and we can text it and we'll take a picture and Instagram it and say, this guy got shot and I got the first picture. And you feel great about that? And what in your spirit tells you that it's great to be able to Instagram somebody's death?
Yeah.
Or somebody being mugged? But we've gotten to that point. So we have to turn it around because it's not going to turn by itself. And so that's what the readings, like I said, there's several readings out there, and that's good, you know, but pick one of them and do something that you know is applicable to you. Do the
mm-hmm.
small thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You know, I guess people don't understand. There's so much that we can learn and learn from other people, and there's so much that we can teach other people, you know, by, you know, there's always my first lady, she says that whenever we have an event, I'm an usher, and she says there's always a smile. A new person walks in and they're feeling down, that smile and that nice greeting
mm-hmm.
could help save them. But so many times, you know, people don't do that. And she says that's what we need. That's something that's needed because you never know what kind of a day someone has had. You get
that's
there
right.
and you say, you know, and that was – I was really bad with that. I used to say when I go in the store and people are angry and, you know, my thought is, well, if you don't like your job and you feel that way, then maybe you shouldn't have come to work today. And that's my thought. But I had to change that thought process because, you know, when you see people and unfortunately people let their circumstances determine the mood that they're going to be in that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you have to deal with, yes, but it should not determine how you treat people. That saying,
right.
misery loves company. You know, it's everyone have certain circumstances, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or family, or friends, or just something you're going through. Like you were talking about, you know, domestic violence or abuse and things like that. You know, a lot of people allow the way they've been treated or how hurt they are or their circumstances, that determines how they treat other people.
Yeah, that's all they know. That's home to them.
Yeah.
That's home to them. And if home to you is a place of fear, anger, rage, you have to, you know, the bell ring loudest in your own home. You got to act the way that the bell was, you know, rung at your house.
Yes.
You know, and so it's so true what you're saying is that when we as human beings walk through life, and I say that in my book, Meaningful Monday, that you are an expression and an extension of the Creator. When someone walks up to you, you don't know. And you owe it to yourself to explore and to find the glory of God that you will be the person to make that person feel good. That feels
mm-hmm.
so good to me. When
mm,
you are
yes.
that one person that meets them with a smile and they say, and they walk in sad.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you are the person that says, hey, how you doing? Oh, my God, I love that blouse. Where'd you get that? Oh, this whole thing. And they forgot what they were worried about. Always find something good to say. I actually just randomly always am always giving compliments to people. And I choose the people that I give compliments to that I know they didn't get a compliment. To watch them just say, who, me? I said, I'm talking to you. I love your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Always find something to make someone feel good about themselves.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying, that you just welcome them with a smile because you acknowledge that you are an extension of God. God put you on earth in that particular moment. So you are a prayer for that person. You are a prayer in that moment to make them feel you are not alone. So many times we feel and we hear something that says, oh, you have no idea how much of a difference you made in my life by saying such as, you don't even remember what you said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that was a moment where Spirit led you to do and to say something because you did not have an intention. You did not have an intention. You allowed yourself to be a vehicle. You didn't intend
yeah.
it. You don't have to intend anything. God has a plan, an intention for us. every moment of the day. Our job is to acknowledge that we are the interpreters of God's wish and understand. And it took me a long time to get to the point where I could really function and believe this from a deep core. Because when you are in a faith that you adopted and the elders around you are still developing themselves, there's sometimes a lot of insensitivity and abuse. And in some cases, I was the butt of it, and sometimes I was the giver of the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I had to make sense of that and say, I'm not feeling good to be able to feel disconnected from my student or disconnected from my godchild or disconnected because of X, Y, and Z. So I had to flip the script and say, you know what, you need to acknowledge and be a little more mindful that who you are and whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
Means that there's a different set of rules that go by who you are when you walk into the room or when you approach someone. Or when someone approaches you. So it made me really accept and acknowledge that, you know, my little moment that I'm having pissy fit doesn't matter because God is not impressed. And if you know that this walk on earth is a walk of karma, then you don't take yourself so seriously when you acknowledge that most of the things, the bad things that happen to us, we created it in another lifetime, but we don't want to we don't want to believe it because we want to make it about the other person.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to blame someone else and just say, you know what, my last life, I must have beat the hell out of somebody. That's why this is happening to me. It brings you to a state of humility. You know, it brings you to a real sense of humility of saying, you know what, I must have been really bored. So then you accept your butt whipping and you just say, thank you, God, for allowing me to go through this. And I'm gonna get my butt whipped real good and I won't go through this anymore. And I would have passed the test for my next incarnation. I don't have to go through this again.
You have a question. You have a caller calling in. Caller 347. I'm bringing your mic up. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. You have a question or comment? Hello?
Hello?
Caller 347?
My area code is 347, sorry.
Okay. You're on the air. You're on the Ask Yaya Feeney Show.
Hi, yes. Hi, ladies. Sorry I sound the way I do. Actually, I might have the flu. I'm really sick. I wanted to ask Yaya Feeney a question. I've been listening to you a couple of months now, and I know you're talking about the new year, and this is a really rough time for me because this is the time of year when my mother transitioned about, it'll be 4 years. It's been 4 years this month, and it's also my birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So I've been struggling with grief, and for the past 4 years, it's gotten, like, progressively worse. And I just thought maybe you might have, I know you do readings, but I heard you online today, and I felt like since tomorrow is my birthday, maybe I should call in and see if you had any help that you could offer me.
Okay.
I'm having a problem moving on, basically, and trying to figure out my life and the loss of my mother and a lot of unfinished questions, and it's been really, really hard.
Oh, okay. Okay. So are you open to getting a consultation?
Right now?
No, not with everyone online. I'm saying are you open or would you like a reading?
Sure, yeah, I've never had one, but yeah, I think
okay, so I'm going to give you that as a birthday present.
Okay.
So send me an email and I'll do a reading for you without charge. If anybody that knows me, I'm into birthday.
Thank you.
If anybody that knows me, weeks before my birthday, I tell people, look, don't forget my birthday is the 31st of August, okay? And if people call me the day before, that says, no, call me back tomorrow. Bye. I don't even excuse myself. It's terrible, but it's lovely. Because people that know me know, it's into birthdays. I love birthdays. If you tell me it's your birthday, I want to find something to make you say, oh, my God, thank you. Because I figure if you are still alive and you are on earth, mm-hmm. from where you came from birth to where you are now, you need to celebrate. Because this life here, if there is such a place as hell, this is it, where you have to continuously prove yourself righteous. That, to me, if there is a hell, it's this life.
Yeah, I know.
And if you can walk through life, because the Yoruba said that the world is a marketplace, make sure that you are not what is being bought and sold.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go through life, we get all kinds of stuff. We got people selling us, people buying us, people taking advantage of us and all that. But if you can keep your eyes on the prize and you have a birthday, how old are you going to be?
41.
Oh, child, yes, you're still young. This is time to party. Oh, yeah, party. I love birthdays. Because if you are alive and you're sane, it is all about celebrating the fact that you are still here. Like,
well,
in the color purple, the woman said, I may be a woman, I may be ugly, but you know what? I'm here.
I'm here, yeah.
You're here, and you have to celebrate this. You know, I'm so sorry about your mom passing, but just send me an email to yayafina@bellsouth.net, and I'll do a reading. I do readings on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I'm glad you didn't do a reading for you for your birthday.
Okay. Will that be over the phone?
Uh-huh.
So
I will do it. What you need to do is send me an email, and I'll tell you everything that you need to send me. But make
okay.
sure that you introduce yourself and tell me who you are. Not just I need to read it. Just tell me that I'm the lady that you spoke to, and it's my birthday. So.
Oh, of course I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. And happy birthday. Celebrate, y'all.
Thank you.
Have a drink, throw up some confetti. Do everything, blast the radio, dance, because the spirit is dancing. Remember, when you left the spirit world, they were happy. They
mm-hmm.
were drumming and dancing and singing. Oh, yes, you have to. You owe it to yourself and your birthday. Birthday is not a thing that you get silent and serious and broody. No. Blast the radio. Open up the windows. Blast the radio in the car. Tomorrow is a holy day.
Thank you.
Yeah, wake up with a meditation, affirmations that today is going to be the best year of my life. Today I am grounded with truth, love. I am surrounded by love. And give yourself a nice soaking bath if you have some honey, if you have some oils and scents, and put some cinnamon in there and put a can of beer in it and some yellow flowers if you have, and just soak. And just say how luscious and how wonderful you are, that you are still alive and that Oshun still vibrates in you and that you feel passion and compassion for life. That's how you celebrate the day, child. Come out of the bath, sit down, and just journal where you are right now. If you feel angry, if you feel peaceful, whatever, just write down everything and look at that next year. And trust me, I guarantee you that you will be in a better place.
Mhm. Okay, I will do that.
Okay, happy birthday.
I'll definitely send you an email. I really, really appreciate it. I can't wait for the consultation.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, ladies. Have a good night.
Yes, you do have her email address, correct?
I have the website. Will I have the email address on?
Send it to yayafini@bellsouth.net.
Bellsouth.net?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Okay,
I wrote it down. Thank you
okay.
so much.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. You know, a lot of people have those types of feeling, and usually it's around, you know, the time of someone making their transition or the holidays or something like that, and they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know what to do, and they can't move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad thing to be sort of stuck right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the 41st dates. You have to keep just, it's just
an ongoing process, a deja vu over every at the same time every year, and that that has to be just an awful place to be in your
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm. And the, but the good part of it is that she had the courage to call.
Yes.
She listened to her own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And because her spirit said, oh, no, we're having us a good birthday. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a good spirit. We're going to have us a good birthday. And her spirit said, you need to call.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's the good part.
Yes.
I'm telling
you
that
you...
the world is kind. I'm telling you, the world is so kind.
Yes, you you give people that I don't want to use that word hope, but you give them what they need and that encouragement and I that's what I like about you know about you and what you do you know and. The time and effort that you have put into what you do. You know, you've been doing this for a long time, and you put your heart and soul into it, and that's something that, that draws me to you, and I really like that. We only have a couple of minutes here. We have actually 3 minutes. So do you want to talk about some things that you're doing? You want to talk to me about
Well, we talked about it earlier. We're going to have our priesthood classes. We're having our mediumship training. We're having classes on for people who are Aborisha or people who are just studying this religion or learning about it, this faith, I should say, because I don't like to call it religion, this spiritual practice. We're also having meditation class, mediumship class, support group for SEW. Well, and, of course, we have the ongoing classes of IIASK. There's a link on my web that says IIASK. If you hit that, it'll tell you the classes we offer and the people who are offering the classes in what city. And, of course, my Ask Yayafini show. And if you go to my website, yayafini.com, and sign up, once a month you will get a newsletter letting you know some of the things and what I'm going through and what's on my mind and, you know, where I am and asking you all to be with me on my journey. And also I am actually looking for a personal assistant and a product manager. But we need to be local. They need to be local here in South Florida because I need someone to hold hands with me as we get ready for a different thing. But basically that's what's happening.
I know that for me, I have gone on your website and I have looked all over your website. I do not see your 1-800 number. I know you have one. Do you still have that?
Yeah, it should be on there. I'm not in front of it right now, but Savannah, who is my website manager, it should be on there. So maybe I need to put it in a more visible place.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I will talk to her. I'll get a chance when I'm in front of the computer and look it up and see.
Okay. Okay. Because I know that that's something that, that a lot of people are looking for. Some people are not good with the computers. And, you know, that number would be great for them to have.
Yeah. So what also... I wanted to say that for those of you who are interested in a personal reading, you can go on my website also and just press consultation and it tells you the fees, the process, and all of that stuff. So that we'll be able to, amass yours and get your new year reading if that's what you're interested in. Or get some kind of consultation, be it tarot, be it spiritual consultation with whatever systems you are. But find out something. Put on the spiritual beach GPS of your life so that you know what direction you're going. So that's what consultations are. So my desire for each one of you that's listening tonight is that you will connect to your purpose. You will connect to your order. You can connect to the proverb that is going to guide you this year. That you will find a place in your spirit to make you feel loved, supported. And remember that a balanced life is a source for endless abundant miracles when mind, matter, and spirits are aligned. And the way that we align those is by knowing whose you are and who you are. So thank you and have a wonderful, magnificent, special, outstanding week. And I'll see you again next month on Ask J.S. Healing. You can call me, of course, on my 800 number, which is 1-888-419-5848. And I will make sure that I put that up. And you can go to yayafidi.com or email me at yayafidi@bellsouth.net. Thank you again, and have a wonderful evening. Thank you again, Ruby, as always. I wouldn't know what to do without you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, family. We'll see you the first Sunday of next month. Good night, family.
Good night.
Thank you, Yaya Finney.
You're welcome.